Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for Wednesday, August 26th. This sucker's going to fall down here. I'm Jeff Blair alongside Kevin Barker. We're all set.
Don't let it beat you.
Got a problem here. My mic is drooping. I need it to be firm. I like my mics firm. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I like them firm.
I hear you.
It's a lot easier to talk into it that way. When they keep drooping, you have an issue.
All right.
We told you. Actually, we were both right yesterday because I talked about the Texas Rangers and how they were a very aggressive team. They're going to force the issue in the base pass, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Barker said I was right, and then he also said, but they boot the ball around. So what happens? We saw the aggressive nature of the Texas Rangers in last night's game, and basically we saw Adrian Beltre make a rare throwing error. I got to admit, when you said they boot the ball around, Adrian Beltre was not the first guy that
his name
came to mind, but throws wide to the bag at first base. Josh Donaldson beats it out. Bob's your uncle. Jays beat the Texas Rangers.
Would you expect anything differently?
This team's got horseshoes up its ass.
They got a lot of things going on. Well, sometimes you make your own luck.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they're doing. They do everything right. It's sort of like the when Kevin Pillar came up with Russell Martin after the walk, and you would think they were bunting. Why would you bunt?
Wait for something good to happen.
Exactly right. So you hit a jam shot, you get the guy to second base, and then you get a blue pit by Troy. It's perfect. That's exactly the way you draw it up.
I think we kind of saw the seeds of this thing laid when, and I saw the replay a couple of times. I'm absolutely shocked that Texas didn't ask for a review on that tag up play at second base. Because I saw a couple angles. I still don't think he touched the bag.
Was the biggest play ever. I think he tagged it with the right foot, but he went around the bag, and you're supposed to tag it again. I think that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to tag it again when you're coming back to first base.
When you come back across it, you have to tag it.
I mean, we saw it. I saw it when I was watching. I don't understand why the Texas Rangers didn't see it. But, you know, again, it gets back to your point. The Blue Jays tend to have everything going in the right direction, and sometimes you make your own luck, and you get a hanging breaking ball. And Batista, give you credit again. You called. You said Batista's about to do a lot of good things, and you know it's when one thing's not working. Like Burley was, he was all right. He was leaving things up, and I
felt better, Kevin, by the way he ended the game. Burley ended the game retiring. Retired seven in a row
at
one point. So I felt, I'm watching that game and I thought, all right, this is, and Joe and Jerry made a great point. Had that been a National League game, you may ended up having to pinch hit for Mark Burley at some point. And he may not have come out necessarily for the fifth or the sixth inning, whichever inning it was. But I felt okay with the way he ended the game. There's still, He's leaving pitches up.
They're still not moving. That's the deal. You know, early in the season, he had this trouble too. He was throwing a lot of balls up, and early on, he was getting hit around a little bit. And he started, when he was throwing up, he became throwing the cutter. Well, he's trying to throw the cutter, it looks like, and it's not cutting. And when it's not cutting at 83, you see the results. It usually doesn't stay in the yard. But I said this yesterday. They just seem to know how to the older guys that's been around and been through struggles and know when something's not working, you go to something else. And what do? You start throwing it slower. You start flipping breaking balls a lot slower. You take a little bit off that changeup, and now it's all of a sudden in the 70s. That's how you get guys out. You do enough to give your team a chance to win, and that's what you saw R.A. Dickey doing it with the quick pitching. You're seeing Burley do it. You can tell Burley's he's searching. And when you search, you try to figure out ways to get outs, and that's what you're getting. This is the difference between this team now and the team before. Early on in the season, they didn't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Now they know how, and I got to be honest with you, it's a little scary to watch this team because last night they weren't supposed to win that game.
No.
And they did. So if you're a Blue Jays fan, man, you got to be jumping up and down and running around in circles and yelling and screaming at people that aren't Blue Jays fans, because this is a pretty good time.
The second game of the series goes tonight. It'll be birthday boy David Price on the mound for the Blue Jays. He is 12-4 with an ERA of 2.40. He will be against Colby Lewis of the Rangers, 14-5 with an ERA of 4.29. Our radio pre-game show will be on at 7 p.m. First pitch just after 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays Central Live is at 7.30 p.m. on Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. That'll be followed at 8 o'clock by the first pitch on Sportsnet Ontario East, West and Pacific. Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will be joined later on in this show by Chris Colabello of the Toronto Blue Jays, had a home run last night, and Delino DeShields of the Texas Rangers, the son of a guy that I covered, Delino DeShields Sr., when he was with the Montreal Expos. And Delino Jr. will join us. And there will be baseball on Sportsnet this afternoon. The Astros, my God, did they pound the Yankees last night. The Astros will wrap up their series in the Bronx against the Yankees, 1 p.m., on Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. They will send Colin McHugh to the mound against Michael Pineda of the Yankees. And we'll talk about the Yankees and Astros in a couple of minutes, because that's, as I said, people are keeping one eye on Yankees, Astros, and another eye and another ear on Blue
that's
Jays.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not going to get
if
into that.
You can
that
do
again.
It. That's awesome.
Well, you'd be surprised on the Blue Jays and Texas. So, Troy Tulowitzki, it's three hits last night. The bloop single that, well, it didn't turn the game around, but certainly it set the table for the rally. It put everything in motion for that rally. You've seen him now. We've seen him since the trade deadline. Is that enough? Is that game enough? The way Tulowitzki was hitting the ball, is that game enough to make you think that he's about to or has broken out of the slump he's had since he's been here?
Yeah, whenever I was in L.A., I talked to Brooks Jacoby, and I said, what's going on with Troy Tulowitzki? And he said, one thing I can tell you, he's timid. Timid means you go up, you take strikes, you swing at balls. When he first got here, we saw that. Now we're not seeing that. He's taking it to the pitch, meaning he's going up. He's got the Josh Donaldson thing working, where I go up, I hunt fastball, strike. You have to remember that word, strike. I look for strike. I get it. I put a good swing on it, falls where it may. He's not taking pitches. He's not taking strikes. You make your own luck. That's what we're seeing. And when this guy gets hot, all of a sudden, this lineup is crazy scary now. Now you have to worry about six or seven people, and it's where's the give in it? I mean, you make the joke that when Troy's on hitting, you got Donaldson on deck, and then Donaldson's hitting, you got Batista, and then Edwin, and then Colabello. Man, it just a smoke. It never, just no give in it. It's getting scary. And back to your point, he is he's seeing the ball well, and you make your own luck. You're starting to see that when you do things to start squaring balls up, you get blue pits like this, and then it just starts getting real serious, and you start hitting the ball out of the yard. And I'm expecting to see that probably tonight. It's not going to change. It's going to only get better.
You played a lot of years. You were a good hitter. Yeah, I mean, you made your mark as a hitter. What told you when you were in a slump that you were about to break out of it? Or what was the sign to you? I mean, bloop, it's nice to walk away from the ballpark. Hey, I got three hits today. Mm-hmm. Three hits is nice. But what really told you? What did you need to feel to come away from the ballpark going, all right, whatever I was in, I'm out of it now?
This is real simple for me. It's real simple. Whenever I walked in the batter's box and I put my foot where I wanted to stand, it felt right. It's real simple. It was a simple thing for me. When I struggled, I really searched on where I wanted to stand, how my feet felt, because whatever your feet do, everything else does. Mm-hmm. And when you struggle, you can't find a happy zone. There's no, I'm going to get closer to the plate. Everywhere you stand just doesn't feel comfortable. And whenever I started feeling comfortable again, I could just walk to the plate and stand anywhere, and it just felt right. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a comfort thing. That's what it's all about. And it told my mind that my feet were right and everything else is going to be right, and I could be nice and easy and fluid and quick with my bat. Because, when you start squeezing the bat and you start seeing sawdust, that's when things just don't go right. And you just simplified it. It's getting to the plate simplifying it, and it starts with your feet. That's what it was for me. Now, it could be different for everybody. It's obviously that mechanism's different. It could be, you know, your bat's laying on the ground, you pick it up, it just felt right when I picked it up. It could be just the smallest thing to tell your mind that you're back, because you have to talk yourself into it.
Right.
And when you
so
do
that.
So
it's more than just, hey, I got three hits tonight.
It Boy, is.
Three hits
it, are well, really that good. Always helps, of course. You know, success helps. Mm-hmm. That's it. But it's actually something to do that, whether it's, you know, I'm going to go up and I'm not going to take a strike. And when I swing at it, I'm going to put it in play. It's that simple. It's just a simple kind of thing. And again, it's different for everybody. But for me, it was my feet. Whenever I walked up and my feet felt right standing in the box, I knew I was going to have a good day and maybe a good week.
We've seen Edwin have really, really good runs with the Blue Jays. It's almost as if this 20-game streak, I'm not going to say crept up on us, but, you know, everybody was, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he said, you know, everybody's talking about David Price and Tulowitzki, and boy, Josh Donaldson going for the MVP, and hey, the Jays are in first place. And he says, like, the other day I looked at it, I thought, God, Edwin's hitting 16 consecutive games. Now it's up even more than that. You've seen Edwin. Mm-hmm. You know Edwin. I mean, you played with him in winter ball, I believe.
A lot. Did. Yes.
What is he doing now? What happens to Edwin Encarnacion when he goes on a streak? Because I asked him one time when he had a slow, it was 3 years ago, he had a slow start to the year, and I had a chance to talk to him a bit about it, and he said, I'm just not seeing the ball. It's that simple. He said, I'm not seeing the ball. It's nothing with my hands, whatever. I'm just not seeing the ball. What are you seeing from Edwin now that is the reason that he is basically on fire?
Well, first of all, he's healthy. We mentioned that before, and you mentioned that early in the season. When he's healthy, he's dynamite. He does things to baseballs that shouldn't be done. But I think also it is when all the acquisitions were made, take a lot of pressure off Edwin. Now Edwin doesn't have to worry about going out and trying to hit seven home runs a game. He just goes up and he's himself. And I think that's the biggest thing, health. And he doesn't have to worry about carrying the team. Before everybody got here, it was always Batista and Encarnacion. Now it's if those two guys, obviously they need those two guys, but they don't have to have them. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where those two guys are walking to the plate and they're just themselves. It's the pressure's taken off, and it has a lot to do with their pitching staff, and their defense has helped a lot. But he's sort of the forgotten guy, and I'm sure it's a breath of fresh air. That's what I'm seeing. And it's, again, it gets back to that scary factor. Now you're adding Troy getting hot. He's going to be consistently hot because he's a streaky kind of guy, because of his load is sort of streaky on when he gets his foot down. But when all of these things are working together, you see what happens. And now you're going to add a David Price to that tonight. Man, my question is, if you're an opposing team, how do you beat them? That's the question, is how do you go out here and beat this team? Because they play great defense now. They're pitching pretty good, and now they have a true number one, and all of these guys you just mentioned are hitting. Come on.
Well, the other thing, too, they're also getting a lot of help from the, at least this week, from the Houston Astros. The Astros beat the Yankees 15-1 last night. That is part of the reason that the Blue Jays are alone in first place in the American League East, a game up. And the Yankees, of course, the Astros have also been helped out by the Blue Jays, because I think it's safe to say that Texas has emerged as the team in that division that is going to chase Houston. It's going to be hard to do based on some of the things we see from the Astros. That game last night had a little bit of everything. Dallas Keuchel was tremendous. Carlos Gomez hitting a home run, sliding into second base on a double, and I have no idea what the hell he was trying to do when he slid into second base. I mean, it looked like he was showboating. He kind of is on his knees and he brushes off his shoulder. He came really close to the knees of the Yankees player, and they're showing it in TV. I mean, he actually touches the Yankees player. That didn't make the Yankees happy. Then subsequent to that, he comes up to the plate, pops up and flips his bat and slams it in disgust. And they're leading like 9-1, 9-0 at the time. And now you see it on TV. He gets into it in the Yankees dugout. It turns out that he's yelling at Joe Girardi, who isn't saying anything. And then, of course, he homers later on.
You're going to laugh at me, but I played with him winter ball. And
why am I not surprised?
I'm gonna be quite honest with you. He's one of the nicest people you ever meet. Straight up the nicest person.
Carlos Gomez.
He is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And when you see him on a baseball field, that's who he is. He's not going to change for anybody. He's a different kind of guy. He brings a different kind of game. That's exactly what the Astros needed.
They needed a little bit of an edge, a little bit of a swagger, a little bit of
the Kansas City Royals kind of thing. They needed a little bit of that, and that's the perfect guy to give it to them. I'm not surprised. All of the things that happened here, because you know what it is? It's a distraction to the other team. The other team now is worried about Gomez every time they face the Astros.
Well, then he's not worried
about everybody else.
And then he homers later in the game, and Joe Girardi has to address it in the news conference. And I'm not saying that you're getting in anybody's head or anything like that. But if you're the Houston Astros, you're sitting there saying, "We just kicked the living hell out of the Yankees in the Bronx." Their manager's talking about one of our players in a post game news conference.
That's exactly what he brings. He brings that all the time. He did that in winter ball with me. And who cares about winter ball?
Yeah.
It's like, that's him. He's going to play that way no matter where he's playing.
There must have been some hellacious fights in winter ball.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Well, not really, because winter ball is a little different gig, and you don't do those kind of things, because that's just, you don't do that.
But there's a lot of retaliation, right?
Depends on the player. Depends on who it is. If I tried to do that, yeah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't fly. But, you know, we're in Dominican Republic, and that's just the way it is. It's what you do there. So, that's what the Astros needed. Exactly what you said. The other team, the other manager, is talking about him other than the entire team and them getting their butts kicked. That's what he brings. That's what the Astros needed. And every time I see that on TV and I see him doing something, I see him brushing that off, or I see him sliding head first when they're up 25-1.
So, that's him.
That's him. Yeah. He's going to give you that all the time. It's sort of like Josh Donaldson. The Blue Jays needed a Josh Donaldson. Yeah. The Astros needed Gomez. It's just the way – it's the perfect alignment for baseball, and I like it.
I'm with you. I'm not necessarily old school. I mean, when it comes to things like that, I've never seen the whole thing with the bat flip. I think the bat flip's hilarious. I mean, I think it's great.
Who cares?
Exactly. And I know if you're the pitcher, you're standing out in the mound, and you're probably going to be pissed off. My response is, then don't throw the same.
Don't give up a home run. You won't see a bat flip.
Exactly.
It is what it is. Again, I say that. It's funny how all of these things are lining up this time of the year. It's two playoff teams fighting to make the playoffs and be the team to beat. And you need these guys to stir up the pot a little bit. You know, see the Blue Jays do that thing with their hand. Well, that's what it is.
They're doing it a little less now. It's funny. I got the sense, and I wish I could remember who said it yesterday. It might have been Buck. I got the sense that, or I have the sense, I should say, that they're still having fun, but there's a lot more of a business-like approach to this team. Maybe it's because Tulowitzki just seems to be kind of a very professional, even keel guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you, that interview he did with Barry Davis after the game, I was listening to it last night, and I'm thinking, that's Derek Jeter. Like and he's a huge Derek Jeter fan. We know that story. He's a huge Derek Jeter fan. When the Colorado went into New York the first time, the Colorado players went out and bought bottles and bottles of Derek Jeter cologne, and they stuffed his locker with it. But I watched his interview yesterday with Barry Davis, and I'm saying, very Jeter-esque, kind of very nice, very polite, didn't say a damn thing.
You know what it is? They're expected to win now. They expect very every day to win. Exactly right. They haven't had that before. A couple of times they won the World Series. But point being is, they know that they're the team to beat now. Whether other teams know it or not, they know it. That's the mentality, I think it is. And you may not see I don't know if you could call it cocky or not, but it's a little bit of, we're pretty good, here we are, we're going to stir it up kind of thing. Maybe that's keep the wheel moving.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that means? Keep the wheel moving? That would make a lot of sense. But I saw things when I was in LA that it's a trickle-down effect. That's why you don't see guys swing at balls. It's a very simple game. The pitchers are throwing strikes. The hitters are hitting strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it is what it is.
Billy Papacosta on Twitter points out, and thank you for doing this, because I was going to mention this before I kind of flipped off into the Houston Astros discussion. LaTroy Hawkins last night. bases loaded that situation. There was a great shot after the game of Gibbons, like giving him the
Well, I'm sure everybody was
giving him the shot in the chest. That was a huge relief performance for this team to get that out of LaTroy Hawkins.
It's a veteran guy. Sometimes you do a lot of things not to have to answer questions. You're going to pound the zone with your best pitch. That's your fastball. You're going to see him throw, sit at about 93 all the time. That's what you're going to get. On occasion, you'll get a secondary pitch, but most of the time, it's nothing but fastballs. And here it is. You beat me, you're going to beat me with my best pitch. That's the comfort thing. And it's that way all the pitches now. We talked to Aaron Sanchez yesterday. That's the mentality now. If you beat me, it's my 97 sinker. You beat me, it's Osuna, it's fastballs up, late and counts. It's impressive. I'm sorry. It's something because, you know, every guy's bought into it. Every guy's saying we're here to do nothing but win. We don't care about stats. We don't care if it's ugly, it's pretty. We don't care. It's all about W's. And 1 through 25, and every coach is exactly the same now. Mm-hmm. So you have to give Alex Anthopoulos a super amount of credit to do those things and get everybody headed in the right direction. I'm going to say it right now. It's scary.
Oh, it really is.
It's scary.
It's scary to watch the way things are turning out. Things are turning out for this particular team at this time. And again, the Jays will go after the second win tonight. First pitch at 8:00 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. Don't forget, tomorrow's game is a 2:00 start. It's a getaway day, and that will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet Ontario, East, West and Pacific as well. And this afternoon, the series we're talking about, the Astros and the Yankees, you want to watch that, you could run out and buy a Yankees or an Astros hat if you don't have one and cheer for the Yankees. Colin McHugh on the mound for the Astros. They are 70-57 against the Yankees. They are 69-56. So the Jays could go into Arlington or could go into the second game of the series tonight, a game and a half up on the Yankees, if Houston can do the business. And it is Colin McHugh against Michael Pineda, who's just been activated off the disabled list by the Yankees to make that start. Chris Capuano has been DFA'd by the Yankees. Chris Colabello of the Toronto Blue Jays is set to join us from Texas. So is Delino DeShields, Texas Rangers outfielder. A lot of good things started to happen to the Texas Rangers when Delino DeShields got in the lineup. Delino DeShields will join us on Baseball Central right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure. Delino DeShields of the Texas Rangers set to join us in a few minutes, followed by Chris Colabello, first baseman outfielder for the Toronto Blue Jays. Chris Black's a producer at Sportsnet, and he sent this to me this morning, or sent it out on Twitter this morning. Absolutely blew my mind, to be quite honest. Roberto Osuna, at 20 years old, right now, if you put together the best seasons in baseball history by 20-year-old pitchers, some of the numbers are remarkable. His ERA of 1.91 as a 20-year-old is ninth best amongst all pitchers in baseball history, including the likes of Dwight Gooden, Walter Johnson, Smokey Joe Wood. It's actually better. And again, he's a reliever, so we're talking a minimum 50 innings pitch, so keep that in mind. We're comparing guys here in Roberto Osuna, who has thrown 56 and two-thirds innings, to guys like Walter Johnson, who threw 256 and a third innings at the age of 20. But Walter Johnson, his ERA is ahead of the likes of Fernando Valenzuela, Dennis Eckersley, Don Drysdale. And again, I know we're comparing apples to oranges a little bit here, but just to point out, that his performance at this age is really quite remarkable. Really quite remarkable. And Kevin, you had a chance to talk to Pete Walker on the West Coast about Roberto Osuna. Something we noticed last night, that game-ending strikeout. He's throwing a lot of pitches up in the zone. Now, my first reaction is you don't want pitches up in the zone. You want to miss low and away. You want to miss low. But you're telling me that Pete Walker's saying, now, this is okay. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I want to give a couple guys. Brett Cecil is one of the guys, too, I'm going to talk about, and Roberto Osuna. When I talked to Pete Walker, I said, what's the approach second half of the season? He said, it is get ahead down. But he said late in seasons when guys are tired, opposing hitters are, you know, just don't have the bat speed they had at the beginning of the season, put guys away up. And we're starting to see a lot of guys do this. Osuna does it a lot. We saw that last night to end the game. You see the catcher basically standing up, wanting the ball up because it changes eye levels. Again, it gets back to you have to go down and away for strike one, and then it sets that ball up to put guys away. We saw Brett Cecil do it last night. That's one of the prime examples of a guy that's sucked up the ego a little bit through the seasons he's had. He's got the curveball back, and he elevates up. We saw that last night with Chu, the fastball up. It's an approach. It gets back to my point of everybody just wants to win. They'll do whatever it takes. If this is what's working, you go to it. And it's a mentality. It's a mentality to the entire team. And it's a mentality in young guys like Roberto Osuna that's right now pitching off the charts. Those reasons you just mentioned. But it's how he goes about it. It's he obviously has talent and he can put guys away early. It's impressive that John Gibbons has all of these pieces to go to when he wants to go to them. And it makes their team dynamic.
Yeah, and it is interesting because as you get later in the year, you can expect to see some slower swings from
100%.
Guys. So you throw it hard.
Again, it gets back to that throwing hard kind of thing. When you throw 97, 98, 99, and you can elevate late in counts when you're ahead, that's lethal.
Well, I was lucky enough to cover this guy's father with the Montreal Expos, and he's one of my favorite players and one of my favorite people to covered in baseball, Delino DeShields. And his son, Delino Jr., is carving out a really good story right now in Texas. You think of Rule 5 picks who've gone on to have significant careers and play major roles with their teams. I mean, usually the conversation begins with Roberto Clemente. Of course, in Toronto, we talk about the great George Bell, who is a Rule 5 pick. Well, I'll tell you, the Texas Rangers have turned into one of the real going concerns in baseball, and part of the reason has been the impact that Delino DeShields has had on that team at the top of the lineup and in center field. And we're very pleased to be joined on Baseball Central by Delino DeShields, outfielder for the Texas Rangers. Delino, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
How difficult is it when you're a Rule 5 pick to, you know, keep everything in perspective, keep focused on what you need to do? Because I've got to think that there's this sense that, you know, you're not going to get the same wiggle room that a lot of other guys are going to get.
Yeah. Well, the main thing for me was the transition to not every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played a single day from day one of my career, my entire life. So, you know, Rule 5 for me, you know, coming, you know, making a team and being on in the big leagues, you know, that's a boost in itself. And, you know, to be around some of the guys, you know, guys that I grew up watching on TV and getting to be in the same locker room. You know, I just try to, you know, do as much as I can and talk to those guys and, you know, how to prepare myself every day. You know, I came to the ballpark as if I was starting every day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take it off. I didn't want to become lackadaisical just in case. You know, the opportunity came. I wanted to be ready when the opportunity came. So, you know, every day I came to the ballpark with the mindset of how to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing changed. You know, I was always ready to go, and an opportunity came, and, you know, I was ready, and I took advantage of it.
Hey, the line. One of the things we've noticed with the Rangers, and one of the things baseball people say is, this is a team. It's almost like watching a team put on a full court press in basketball. You guys like to, you like to press the envelope and the base paths. You guys are the best team in baseball, or one of the best teams in baseball, at taking the extra base. And we saw last night how aggressive you guys are with the double steal. Does this team, do you think, the Texas Rangers, finally have an offensive identity? Because when you talk to people in the past, a lot of people kind of looked at the Rangers as, well, they're a team that's going to go out and bludgeon somebody. But I watch you guys now, and there's a little more small ball. I mean, you've got guys who are still capable of hitting homers, but there's a little more small ball and a real attempt to really force teams into making errors. Is that your mindset?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the beginning of the year, we were having a little trouble finding our identity. Coming from last year, the injuries and stuff, and then, you know, this year some people were early in the year and all that. But I think that we're starting to figure out who we are, who we want to be as a team, and. You know, we're not like the Blue Jays. You can just hit home runs whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta try to find other ways to produce runs, and that's taking a base, stealing bases, moving runners over for the guys who can drive and run it. So I think that's definitely become part of our identity. We got a lot of guys running. And we have some guys that can swing it too. So, but everybody's been in their own way. And I think everybody on our team knows their role and what their role means on the team and throughout the lineup. Even, in the bullpen. And so I think what the understanding and preparation and all that is definitely just on our identity. And it helps us win ball games.
Delano, let me ask you, when your general manager, John Daniels, goes out and gets a guy like Cole Hamels, when you're 49-52, that was your record when that happened, what does that do for your clubhouse? Were you guys just, what was the mindset after that happened?
It was a boost of confidence. It made everybody in the locker room feel like, that he was giving us a chance. Like, he didn't give up on us. That he felt like we had something special in the locker room to go out and, give away some of the guys that he gave away, for Cole Hamels. It was like, okay, he believes in us. We're going to give it everything we got. And we needed an extra arm, in our start rotation, and he's been a great addition. He got his first win, his last start, which was huge, I think, for him. I believe that he's just going to build on that. And, the trade deadline or that period of time was huge. We got some additions in the bullpen, too. And, they've been lights out in the bullpen. So we have confidence throughout our whole pitching staff, starting with Cole Hamels and then Jake Diekman and Sam Dyson coming in. Those guys have been, incredible, for success of this team. And, we have a lot of confidence behind those guys. And I think, those trades were huge for our team and our confidence moving forward.
Delino, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much. Continued success. And say hi to Mom and Dad for me.
Well, thank you.
Good luck.
It's Delino DeShields. His dad, by the way, a terrific second baseman with the Expos and then later on with the Cardinals, signed with the Expos after being offered a basketball scholarship at Villanova. One of Delino Jr.'s sister, was ACC Freshman of the Year at the University of Tennessee after transferring. I'm sorry, she's now transferred to the University of Tennessee. She was Freshman of the Year at the University of North Carolina in basketball. The mother ran track at the University of Tennessee and was a national-ranked sprinter. He's got a 16-year-old brother who's playing basketball. Another 13-year-old sister who's playing basketball. Delino DeShields Jr., the only member of the DeShields family who didn't play basketball. And it's a great story because Rule 5 guys, it's a hard – I mean, Kevin, you know what it's like to bounce around and move around.
He was going to Louisiana State to play football and baseball, right?
Yeah.
Before he got drafted by the Astros. So he's obviously an athlete, and, you know, whenever you can play center field and hit a little bit and run all over the place, it's quite an asset to your team. And then they're adding Cole Hamels, which is, you know, you can relate – The Blue Jays can with David Price.
And kind of the funny thing about this is Delino Jr. was with the Houston Astros, and essentially he was pushed out by all those good Astros players you're seeing now. They moved him to the outfield because originally he thinks of himself still as a second baseman, but they moved him to the outfield because they had that, what's that guy's name, that little guy, Altuve. They had him, and, you know, I remember talking to his dad, Delino Senior, who manages Louisville Cardinals now, and he'll probably be managing in the
River
majors.
River Bats.
Sorry,
that's where I played.
He'll be managing in the majors at some place in the next 2 years. And he was talking about how he told him, you know, just take a look. You're losing jobs to guys who are otherworldly players. So he's a guy the Texas Rangers think can help them next year, perhaps as a replacement for Leonis Martin. I can tell you that at one point, I don't know how far the discussions got. At one point, the Blue Jays had interest in Delino Jr. They were talking to Houston as well. Again, you watch the guy play and you can see...
Speed never slumps.
And he's capable of playing some pretty good defense as well. I got some numbers for our next guest, Chris Colabello, the Toronto Blue Jays, joining us. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
What's going on, guys? I'm doing well, thanks. How you doing?
We're doing real well. So I'm going to throw these numbers out at you. You're 324 against lefties, 335 against righties, 345 home, 318 away. In August, your batting average is .459. Your OPS is 1.325. Post-All-Star game, your average is .354. Your OPS is 1.011. My question is, it's one thing to go on a roll when you're a guy who rolls into the clubhouse and knows you're going to be batting fifth every day, regardless of what the situation is. It's another thing to be able to do this when you're a guy that, you know, your playing time is irregular. How do you keep it going?
I mean, it's a good question. honestly, you know, the biggest thing for me was at this point is just understanding, you know, I'm trying to help the team win every day. You know, when I tell you guys honestly that, you know, I go up and try to have competitive at bats all the time and just, you know, do whatever I can to help the team, whether it means I got to move a runner over or, you know, whatever. You know, I'm able to, I guess in my own mind, alleviate some of the stress of trying to get hits. And it's amazing when you're not trying to get hits, you know, you have a tendency to find some holes out there in the field. You know, since the All-Star break also, you know, my finger's been feeling significantly better too. So that's helped quite a bit, you know, from down in Tampa when I got hit. So, you know, I was grinding through that. So I think, you know, the joy in my head of having my finger just kind of be back to full strength has been, it's like you go up to bat and it's like, oh, man, that's great. So, you know, I'm not dealing with that anymore, which is nice.
Yeah, Chris, let me ask you, you just mentioned it's all about winning. The mentality looks to me like the beginning of the season, it may not have been that way. It may have been guys were trying to get their feet wet. But whether it's from the All-Star game or whenever, the team just looks different on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm just going by what I see, and you can tell me if this approach is right, the entire team. You're just going up and simplifying it and swing at strikes. Is that what it is? Is that one through nine, and then whoever comes off that bench, is it basically the same thing as we just go up and swing at strikes?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is everybody, you know, just here is a professional hitter. Like, I think there are a lot of professional hitters on this team. And, you know, when I say that, you know, we obviously have some guys that are having some great years and putting up some big home run numbers and things like that. And, you know, obviously, you know, Josh, you know, you hear the MVP chants every day, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, you look through the lineup, and more than anything else, there are guys that really understand, you know, A, their own identity, and B, what, you know, what they need to do for to help the team win. And, you know, I think back to Los Angeles, or to Anaheim in particular, I should say, and, you know, Edwin Encarnacion is a tremendous power hitter in the big leagues, you know, mostly a left side of the field guy. You know, he's trying to, you know, lift the ball to left field. And you look at his at-bat with the bases loaded, and he shoots a ground ball through the right side to drive in a run because he understands the moment, and he understood, you know, what, you know, guys were given to him, the opportunity they were given to him. You know, you think back to some of the at-bats Jose's had, and even, you know, even Josh last night, it's, you know, Russ drawing a walk. It, you know, you think through the lineup, and these guys are all professional hitters. They're guys that get what the moment entails, and, you know, it's fun to be around because it makes you want to just do your job every day.
Chris Colabello joins us on Baseball Central. A lot of talk in this city, a lot of concern. I would think some of it misplaced about Troy Tulowitzki's quote-unquote lack of offense. We saw last night that the contributions that he made to last night's game, we've seen his defense time and time again. Tell us a little bit, Chris, about what he is like, because we see a guy who's very quiet, very serious, very sincere. Is that the same guy that you see in the clubhouse?
I mean, Tulo's a great guy. I love him. And, you know, let me preface this by saying if Troy Tulowitzki doesn't get a hit the rest of the year or gets a hit every at-bat, he's, you know, still the same guy that, you know, he's as advertised to me because what he's done, first of all, with the glove and, you know, the ability that he has to just be steady every day and the way he goes about his business and what he brings to the table and, you know, his knowledge for the game, like last night, you know, just talking about, you know, after my first at-bat, I came to the dugout and we were talking a little bit about, you know, how he was approaching guys. I think, you know, he might not necessarily be as quiet as he looks to the outside world, but he's a pro. He's very businesslike. He knows what he's trying to go out and do every day, and he's a great teammate. He's a great guy to have around, and certainly, you know, somebody that I think has brought even more leadership to this clubhouse, which, you know, I think has been awesome.
Chris, before we let you go, I want to give you a little bit of credit. Every time I come to the field early, I see you on the field first, taking ground balls, taking some fly balls in the outfield. I see you taking a lot of balls, the short hop variety off the fungos at first base. And then I see you make the great picks at first base in the Anaheim series. I got a couple of questions. The first one is, how contagious is it watching Smoke do that? And how happy are you to take that from the practice field on to the actual game situations?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously anytime you see guys around you, you know, making plays, you know, it makes you want to do the same thing. You know, obviously, you know, I've been a first baseman my whole career, and, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I think a pretty good one too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's obviously a little bit tougher. I'd played a lot of left early in the year, and I kind of just, you know, forgot about playing first and things like that. So, you know, it was almost like, oh, well, let's go back to first base, and it'll be like riding a bike. And then the first few days you're out there, you know, whatever, you get a tough ball, and now you start thinking, oh, well, I should have had that or whatever. So it was actually good that I kind of kicked myself in the butt a little bit and said, and Louis Rivera was part of that too, reminded me to get out, you know, hey, let's get out there and do some work because, you know, whether you're out there every day or not, like, you know, right now you're not, it's you know, it's just a matter of you getting more and more repetition. So it's been good to get out there every day and do some work before and, you know, obviously to be able to make a play, you know, whatever it is, you know, to help the team, you know, you're obviously happy, but those are plays I expect to make and, you know, should make all the time. So, I mean, thank you for saying that thing. But, you know, I hold myself in high regard, especially defensively. And I don't think a lot of people have had too much of an opportunity to see me play over there. But, you know, it's good to make a play every now and then.
Hey, Chris, listen, we appreciate you doing this. Keep it rolling, man. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Thanks.
Chris Colabello of the Toronto Blue Jays. Game 2 of the 3-game series tonight at 8 o'clock. Sportsnet 590. That's it for us today. For Kevin Barker, Delino DeShields, and Chris Colabello, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Enjoy the baseball. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.